Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to this edition of Believe in Grizzlies. Today I have with me Joe Mullinex. He hosts the Locked on Grizzly podcast, and he's a writer for the new venture, Bluff City Media. Hi, Joe. How are you doing? Thank you for coming on with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I've known you for a long time. We go way back. It's always good to talk Grizzlies with you, somebody as knowledgeable and as experienced as you. It's great to have the opportunity. So thanks for having me.
So I haven't done a podcast since the Ja Morant things went down. So as you know, he went on Instagram Live. He was rapping to some music and he held up a gun. And then the next day, all hell broke loose. Well, I guess it was the same day, early that morning, all hell broke
loose. Later that day.
Yeah, and he's been all over the news. He was away from the team, and we found out that he was away from the team for 2 games. Then it was 4 games. Then we found out he was in counseling. And then yesterday, the league came down with the 8-game suspension, and that's retroactively, you know, with the 4 games. The 6 games he missed with the Grizzlies, so he's eligible to play Monday on the 20th against the Dallas Mavericks, but he might not play because he hasn't been playing basketball since March the 3rd. Right. So it's been like a little 2 weeks thing or whatever. And then there are those who don't like him, per se, or don't buy that he was dealing with some kind of mental health issue, whether it's, he said that he was stressed in his statement, you know, he released a statement saying he was stressed and he dealt with his stress wrong. And he wanted to get help. And he said he, you know, got help at this facility. And then he had the interview with Jalen Rose last night. And I saw you on Twitter this morning, and I agree with everything you said. Okay, so, like, he said he needed help. He went to get help. He didn't have to do an interview with Jalen Rose, but he did. And then people will go on with, like, well, that was too quick for him to come back. Okay, in a facility like that, you don't stay a long time.
Right.
Because someone could go to, you know, sometimes in a hospital, you have a 48-hour hold. Then they may extend it to another 48-hour hold. They don't keep you a long time unless you sentenced to like a mental health facility where you have to stay a long length of time.
Sure.
So why do people think that people with money and fame don't experience these types of issues just because they got money and fame? They're human just like everybody else.
Sure.
And then it seems like money makes it even worse sometimes.
It can. I mean, it certainly can. And especially we have to keep the perspective of he's a 23-year-old kid, right? Like, I don't need to get into your business. But I can tell you from my experience that I did lots of dumb things when I was 23 years old. Maybe not quite to that level, just because I don't have $50,000 in $1 bills. But right. You know, if I did have $50,000 in $1 bills at the age of 23, I'm not sure what I would have done with them either, if that makes sense. And I think that in our society today, Shai, we struggle with empathy at times.
Exactly.
And I think that because someone has millions of dollars or because someone seems to have the world, and to Morant's credit, you mentioned the Jalen Rose interview. He said, to me, that was the most important piece, aside from understanding that he needs to have actions match words and all those sorts of things. He said that he understands what he has to lose now.
Right.
And, you know, at the base level, it could be his life, you know, not to get too overly serious, but flashing a gun on social media is not something that's wise to do in any circumstance, regardless of what city you're in. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because we only have about 30 minutes or so for this podcast. And, you know, that's a whole entire, you know, on an episode of Locked On Grizzlies, I went off for 10 minutes about how the national media was irresponsible for that. But, you know, regardless of the behaviors, which were bad, right? Mm-hmm. I think that it's important to point those things out. We're not trying to excuse what Morant did.
No, but not at all.
Going back to Taylor Rooks in the interview that he did in 2021, talking about mental health, this is something that has been on the radar for Ja, maybe not as extensively as in the past, but it has been on the radar. And something that I think has kind of been skimmed over is this has been the first year of Ja Morant's NBA career where they've had expectations, right? The rookie mm-hmm. year to his second year to obviously the third year that was so amazing, the 2021-2022 season, the chance to go to the second round and all those sorts of things. The Grizzlies have been on the up and up. And this was the first season where they were expected to be in the Western Conference Finals by a lot of people. They were expected to have Ja Morant take this next step as not just a basketball player, but as a leader. And he's still 23 years old. So I think that the pressure, the reality of all of the things that he's responsible for, Nike shoes and Powerade sponsorships and all these other parts of his life, you know, he is the guy that so many people are depending on. And I don't know about you, Shai, but just in my much smaller corner of the world, knowing that I have people that depend on me like that stresses me out sometimes. I'm not making generational wealth. I'm not the face of a franchise or the face of a brand. So I think my biggest thing coming out of all of this is empathy, because some people have it and others don't. And I do think that it shines a brighter light on the issues with coverage of mental health. Some people understand it and some people don't. I have an issue with selective mental health being allowed to be a reason for something. It mm-hmm. seems like the on one hand, somebody does something and they say that they need help mentally and they're like, oh, they're so brave. And then they're the same person 2 weeks later that gets a joke off on Ja talking about, you know, shooting up something with Sean Kemp, which again, we talk about misinformation. That was something that right. was blown out of proportion.
Right.
So the point that I'm trying to make is I have empathy for Ja. I have empathy for his family. I have empathy for the media people like you and I are like that. You know, where we have to cover these things and we have to discuss these things when we have these chances to. But at the same time, you have to do it responsibly. And exactly. I don't know that Ja Morant, who did not act responsibly in his own way, two wrongs don't make a right. And reporting irresponsibly or giving your opinion irresponsibly about an irresponsible act only makes things worse all the way around.
And then, like, for me, you know, I wrote a story about Ja in the Memphis Flyer. It was now under Microsoft Morant's Next Steps Are Vital. So I talked about everything that happened. And then also, like, it's okay to chastise Ja, but also give him grace. For the simple fact is, we once was 23-year-old. I have a 23-year-old son right now. He just turned 23. And his maturity level is not there. He still has some growing to do. He don't have the $1 million as Ja. But like I tell people, and he's okay with me saying this, He can barely handle having $3,000 a month. What if he had millions? I'll be worried out of my mind. But me and my husband can counsel him. We can tell him. But sometimes, as my husband say, for some of our children, all of my children are grown, experience is the best teacher. You can tell somebody something all day long. But until they get it, they're going to do what they want to do. You know, things are going to happen, whatever. But I just think that this was a serious wake-up call for y'all. And mm-hmm. He knows now, him and his friends, as he said in the interview, he has everything to lose.
Absolutely.
Everything. And then it's just like, and then some people were like, he's using mental health as an excuse and all this and that. He's been talking about it since 2021. When he did that interview with Taylor Rooks, he spoke about it when he did an interview with DeMichael Cole back in September. And I think he spoke about
DeMichael Cole.
Right. And then I think he spoke about it recently on the Pivot podcast. He spoke a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. He's been talking about it, but I think this is his first time really probably going to therapy where he just like, and then he was like going to the strip club or whatever was a stress reliever for him. And somebody told me today that that wasn't a stress reliever. Well, I know a lot of people said that going to the strip club was a stress reliever. It might not be right, but for some people, it is.
Right. And we're not policing morality here.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I might not want to go to the strip club, or you may not want to go to the strip club, but that's not, you know, he didn't do anything illegal. There were no charges that were pressed on him. There was nothing from the police or anything like that. You can't be, what's the best way to say this? You can't be charged with the crime of stupidity.
Exactly.
Right. And I'm not saying that Ja is stupid. I'm saying what he did was stupid. Right. And if you arrested people for doing stupid stuff, there'd be a hell of a lot more people in prisons, right? So I think that that is something that gets lost in this, is he made dumb choices. He made bad mistakes, and he has said that. He's owned up to that. So now the key for him is going to be the follow through, right? Because you could say all sorts of things, but how you actually act, how you carry and conduct yourself moving forward, you know, if you're going to do all these things and then a month later, you're back to talking about how hollow points, you can find out how they feel for free on Twitter. You know, that's not the best look in terms of changing the behavior. I think that he is getting a hard lesson financially. Mm-hmm. Shy, there's a very real chance he just cost himself $40 million because there's a lot of good basketball players in the NBA, and there's a lot of good guards in particular. And if you're somebody that's choosing all NBA and Ja Morant just got suspended for 8 games, meanwhile, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and De'Aaron Fox, and Steph Curry, and all these other guys are balling out, you know, you could logically argue to keep him off, and that would hurt his supermax. He would not make the 200 plus million supermax at that point. It would just be the 191 million. And it sounds silly to say just the 191, but the reality is that's $40 million that he would be costing himself. So it might hurt him in his pocketbook. And I know you know this as an adult, and I know it too. Sometimes that's the best way to get through the people is to hit them where it hurts in the pocketbook.
And then I'm going to go back to Adam Silver's statement yesterday when he handed down the suspension. He says Ja's conduct was irresponsible, reckless, and potentially very dangerous. It also has serious consequences when given his enormous following and influence, particularly among young fans who look up to him. And so Josh spoke about that, about being a role model on the Jalen Rose podcast. And he also spoke about, you know, people who dealing with stress and anxiety, where they shouldn't be afraid or shouldn't be deemed as weak if they get therapy. So why do you think therapy is really a taboo for a lot of people, as we see on social media? Well, Ja didn't need therapy. He didn't need this or that. And then let's talk about how people thinking that it's just was the 10 days, but how therapy counseling can be ongoing.
Oh, it's definitely ongoing. I mean, I think you alluded to it earlier in the show. If people waited until they were perfectly 100% recovered from a mental trauma or anxiety or whatever it might be, they would maybe never come out of treatment, right? So there has to be some form of continuous ongoing things. It's not like a drug rehab center, right? And I think that might have been part of the confusion too, because there were, again, we talked about misinformation earlier. Some people saying he was in rehab, he's addicted to alcohol, all these sorts of things, which it, that doesn't turn out to be true. But when you think drug rehabilitation, usually you are there for 30 days or 60 days. Again, with mental health, it's a different situation. And this was, Ja himself said, it was about better strategies for handling his stress, his anxiety, like you mentioned a moment ago. So I think sometimes the wires get crossed with what exactly he was doing. I think that the taboo of mental health is a really difficult question, because I'll be honest, Shai, I feel that, you know, again, on a much smaller scale, you know, I grew up in athletics. I played college football. I, you know, have made sports a major part of my life. And there is a very hyper-driven definition of masculinity that I was raised on in a lot of ways, and it's nobody's fault. It's just kind of society, you know, what it's okay for a man to say or do. You know, you don't just say, I don't feel good today, I'm going to, you know, focus on my mental health. You, that's soft, that's weak. You grind through it, you push through it, you bury that down deep, and you keep doing what you need to do. That is how I was raised in sports. And I'm guessing that Ja Morant was raised that way as well. So I, again, we talked about empathy earlier. I can relate to the idea of not wanting to talk about it when I have those issues, because I feel those pressures. Like, it's not me saying that it's okay to not be okay. It's me saying it's not okay. I need to get over it. I need to push forward. And, you know, that's a very outdated way of thinking about it. I'm not trying to say that's the right way to look at it. I'm trying to say that I can relate to Ja being in a position to say that, you know, it's not something that you're supposed to talk about, or, you know, he's not comfortable, you know, thinking that he needs to stop. He's trying to find other ways that he can keep the pace that he was going at and still do what he needed to do professionally and for his family. And it got out of control, and he lost that pace, and he lost his way. And I, again, varying degrees, I can relate to that. And it's an issue that continues to happen in our society. I can only speak from my experience. All you can do is be willing to have the conversation, because there's a lot of folks that would agree with the idea that, you know, not necessarily using mental health as a cover for bad behavior, but the overall specter of mental health being a sign of weakness. You don't want to openly admit that you're weak, especially in a hyper masculine place like sport. And I was never a professional athlete, but I can only imagine to get to the highest levels of your sport where people are willing to give you millions of dollars to do it. You have to have some level of alpha male masculinity that, again, what that meant in 2013 even means something a lot different in 2023. And we're all trying to kind of play catch up with how that relates to males and how they accept and hold on to things like anxiety and stress and other triggers of mental health problems.
And I think it's good that Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan came out to talk about their mental health. And I think that's given other players the avenue of, you know, so they can talk about it as well. Some still won't talk about it. And then maybe, you know, Ja can be an influence to those people, others, to talk about it. Sure. You know, and then, like, a lot of people follow him. They're following what's going on. People are offering advice, things of that nature, good advice, bad advice, whatever. So let's get to the Grizzlies. You know, they have been playing okay since Ja been out. They lost the game to the Clippers. They lost to the Lakers. And am I seeing this in order?
They lost to the Clippers.
First, they lost to the Lakers.
Yeah, Clippers, Lakers, and they won three in a row.
And then they lost last night.
Yeah, so they are currently, without Ja Morant, they are 3-3.
3-3 without Ja Morant. So I think that's pretty good. Then they got San Antonio on Friday. Then they have Golden State Warriors on Saturday. Then Monday they have the Dallas Mavericks. And I think Ja probably will be back with the team unless he's, you know, still taking time off. He'll be back with the team, but he might not play because he has to get reconditioned or anything. And so what do you think the Grizzlies need to do to stay afloat until Ja comes back? Last night, we can, you know, do like Will Smith did in Men in Black and just, you know, hit that, click that, what they used to call that thing, the synthesizer,
nebulizer, something like that.
A synthesizer or something. We could just blink it and just forget about last night. Because that was, okay.
Yeah. And well, then, hopefully in terms of the lessons, right? I think Ja needs to hold on to those. And I don't think that's what you meant. You're talking
about the Grizzlies from last night. Right. Against the Miami Heat.
Gotcha. I understand. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. I would
like
to forget that too. I would like to forget that as well.
Yeah. We can do that and forget about how they performed last night against the Miami Heat. But the Miami Heat got a good defense and everything. Yeah. And then, the starters didn't play in the fourth quarter. You know, they just need to get out of there healthy. And, you know, since Desmond Bane, what do you think about that flagrant too?
I thought
they caught on him on.
I mean, his arm went into the groin of Kevin Love because of a foul that wasn't called. So he didn't really have control over that. The officiating left a lot to be desired. It wasn't the reason the Grizzlies lost. You don't lose by 19 because of the refs, but it was not great. I think Shai, it was smart, in my opinion, to kind of wave the white flag early in that game because Memphis has 3 games in 4 nights. Coming up, they play San Antonio, as you mentioned, Friday. Then they have the Warriors Saturday and a back-to-back at home, thankfully, because the Warriors are one of the worst road teams in the NBA. So that should be a win, in theory, against Golden State. And then Monday, they play Dallas again. And as you alluded to, Ja Morant will be eligible to return to the Grizzlies on Monday. But that's the first day he's allowed back in the team facility. So I agree with you. I'm fairly confident he's not going to play. And I think Taylor Jenkins and others have said that as well. I think we'll see Ja either Wednesday or Friday against Houston. That kind of lines up nicely as a return for him. Even after being out for a couple of weeks, he could probably hang 50 on Houston. No disrespect to the Rockets. They're just not very good this year. My biggest thing coming out of this Ja-less stretch, you mentioned Desmond Bane. He and DeMichael Cole and I have talked about this on Locked On Grizzlies a lot. He has done a pretty impressive job. Obviously, he's not the athlete that Morant is, but he can replicate the production of Morant in the aggregate. And he's done a good job of being a better rebounder, being a better facilitator, having assists. You know, there's been games where he's put up 9, 7, 8 assists. His average in that area has gone up since Morant has been out. He's been asked to do more of that kind of work, and he's shown that he's capable of doing so. So, again, we forget, or at least I forget, that this is a Grizzlies team that's still extremely young in terms of where they are developmentally. They have yet to make a championship contender trade. You know, Luke Kennard, which is an entirely other different topic. While he's an elite three-point shooter, that's not something that you go and you say, oh, the Grizzlies are serious about contending. They tried to get Kevin Durant and they tried to get Mikal Bridges. Those would have been trades to say, wow, Memphis wants a championship now. But they're still in a position where they have assets. They can still be flexible. They haven't fully gone all in yet. If they can get through this stretch, again, they're 3-3 without Morant right now. Say they beat San Antonio on the road. Say they beat Golden State at home. That has them at 5-3 in 8 games without Ja going into a Dallas home game, which, you know, assuming Luka's back and Kyrie's back, that won't be easy. But again, it's a home game. Memphis is one of the better home teams in the NBA. That would guarantee them, assuming Morant comes back that Wednesday against the Rockets, which I think he will, that would basically guarantee them a winning record without Ja. And that would be massively important because it's not just Ja that they're down, right? Steven Adams is out until roughly the start of the playoffs. Brandon Clark is out for much of next season. So they are down multiple key contributors. Ja Morant gets the headlines, but Adams and Clark are pretty significant too. So for them to go 5-3 or 5-4 even during a stretch where they don't have Morant, it would be a massive win as they just try to hold serve with the red hot Sacramento Kings to hold on to that 2 seed. So I think that we learned that Desmond Bane is capable of being a high level player on a night in, night out basis. I think that we saw that Tyus Jones, and I've written about this over at Bluff City Media, Tyus Jones is an excellent starter in the NBA, or a very good starter in the NBA. His reserve numbers don't really back that up. So I wish there was a way that Tyus and Ja could start together. Unfortunately, there really isn't.
Right.
So that will lead to some decisions this summer, but it just drove home the point that Tyus is a much better actual starter than he is a bench player for the Grizzlies. And, you know, Ja Morant's return is going to be an energy boost. It's going to be a shot of life for this team. Because, again, that road trip, I've seen Chris Harrington say it of the Daily Memphian, I've said it, that was the worst road trip in franchise history.
Right, because everything that went down.
Everything that happened. You know, the fact that they went 1-3, that's, you know, that's not great. But between Morant and the injury to Clark and obviously Adams, I believe the update on him happened during the road trip.
And then Dylan Brooks, the one-game suspension for the 16th
correct. Take. So just to have a bit of positivity. And to, again, because when he comes back at home, Memphis is going to love him. There ain't going to be any boos for Ja Morant in FedEx Forum. They're going to shower him with love. And that's going to be a really good positive moment. And that's a strength of the city of Memphis. When one of their own kind of gets knocked down, the city is very good at trying to pick them up. And Morant has been adopted as a son by the city of Memphis. And I think that that's going to be a really powerful moment when he does return. Like I said, probably I would bet on Wednesday, the 22nd, because he'll get a couple of days to ramp up. He may not play very many minutes against Houston that game. Maybe he's back to his full tilt around Friday or Sunday. But it makes a lot of sense to have him come back in that Houston mini series, because the Rockets are so bad, to be honest with you. He can knock off a little bit of rust, and the Grizzlies would still be in a place to win both of those games because they're both at home.
Right. And I don't think they should take the Rockets lightly, because didn't they just beat the Lakers?
That's true.
Yes, because the Lakers, you know, the Lakers have been winning, you know, without LeBron. They've been doing really good, but yeah, did Anthony Davis play that game? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I think that's a game that they sat him, even though he didn't want to get sat. So, but you're right. They're full of professional basketball players, right?
Right.
Like, it's not like college basketball where you say, oh, this team has two NBA guys, or this team has one NBA guy. Well, the Houston Rockets have 15 NBA guys.
So right.
They could certainly give the Grizzlies trouble.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you this, Jaren Jackson Jr. I think he is the key for if the Grizzlies are going to win playoff series and possibly go to the Western Conference Finals, because you know Ja's going to get his. Desmond, he's going to get his. But I think Jaren is the key. If they could get him to stay on the floor without get into foul trouble, because like last night against the Heat, he was on one last night. He almost got his double double, and then they stopped going to him, and then because the Heat, they was preventing him from getting the ball several times. But I think he's the key, and I don't know, because sometimes they don't pass him the ball. I don't know if he should be more demanding of the ball, but I know that's probably not his personality. But right. Like, imagine if he was a dog like Z-Bo or something. But I know he's not that. But right. when he gets in his mind that he's really good, he's that good, he's gonna be hard to deal with.
He
on
is.
A nightly basis on, because to me, I think he's the most important player on this team, because he can go offensively, and we know the juggernaut he is defensively. He can do both. And then until he realizes this, wow, it's going to be amazing.
He is the best two-way player on the team. That's not even a question anymore. That's very clear. And there are times where you would like Jaren to be more aggressive. He's gotten better at that.
Right.
He did a lot of back to the basket things in the last couple of games that the Grizzlies have played. And that's been promising, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want that to be the only part of his game, because it's 2023 and those types of guys are dead. Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic are kind of the closest to that. But at the same time, they're not really at the same level. They can do a lot of different things, and that's just a part of their Rolodex of skills. And Jaren is getting to that place as well. He is a consistent mismatch. Mm-hmm. You put a traditional five on him, he's too big, he'll blow right past him. If you put a, you know, a four or stretch four, a bigger forward, but not quite a center on Jaren, Jaren's bigger than them at 6'11", 240 some pounds. He'll just dominate them on the block like he's done the last couple of games, get to the rim at will. And like you said, it's almost like he's learning that. He's figuring that out. I don't know if he defers to Ja because Morant is the superstar. I don't know if he's been told by the coaching staff, Taylor Jenkins and others, that he should just prioritize the defensive end and get his offense where he can. You know, Taylor Jenkins, when he first got the job, compared Jaren Jackson Jr. to Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, because Jenkins obviously has the connection to the Bucks through his time with Budenholzer, the head coach there. And that obviously isn't entirely true. Giannis is the best physical basketball player on the planet, and Jaren is not at that level yet. But in terms of what he's physically capable of doing compared with Giannis, Giannis is probably a little bit more athletic, but Jaren has a better three-point shot. So if Jaren can get into that ballpark of Giannis light or Giannis zero, however you want to describe him, where he's not Giannis, but he is able to have a comparable impact alongside Desmond Bane, alongside John Morant, regardless of who the other 12 guys are next to Ja, Jaren, and Bane, the Grizzlies are a title contender for the next half decade because there's nobody that can touch those top three, or there's very few teams that can touch that top three when they're clicking. And the key is Jaren. Again, I think Bane has proven to be a pretty steady hand. We know what Ja Morant is capable of when he's on. And I think, you know, you will, hell hath no fury like a motivated Ja Morant. And I think he's definitely going to be motivated when he returns next week. It's on Jaren. I think you're exactly right. It's on him to really kind of dictate what the ceiling of this team is. You know, maybe not necessarily this season, because again, they're without Brandon Clark. Steven Adams is coming back late. It seems kind of up against the wall at this point. But to the Grizzlies' credit, as you know, covering the team as long as you have, that's kind of Memphis's bag, right? we work better in that underdog role. And I think Jaren and company are going to have that even once Ja and eventually Steven Adams come back, because of all that has transpired this season. You know, it's going to come down to Jaren Jackson Jr. helping raise that ceiling a little bit higher, not just this year, but moving forward.
But I think, I know, I just think sometimes he needs to just say, give me the damn ball or throw it to the hand, one of them. And I know that's not him, but I would love to see it. Give me the damn ball. Give me the ball.
Especially when he's got a 6'7" guy on it.
Right, and then when he got somebody on the basket. I want him to say, give me the damn ball. You know?
A little bit more aggressiveness on the offensive end, because he has that defensively. Just
right.
Applying it in another area.
Yeah, just give me the ball. Give me the ball. I need the ball right now. Because you hear Pete and Brevin saying, Jaren just has somebody on the basket. You know, you have to use him. He's a walking mismatch nightly. And then it's just like, you know, it's just like you said, he's been better at it this season. Because like last season, it seems like he was, you know, settling for threes. But this season, he's just been so much better at it. And, you know, and then like he did, his defense was the reason why, you know, he made his first All-Star. And then he's like the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year because he is their anchor of the defense. But I want him to be more of an offensive minded. But because I know it's not just about offense, but I want him to do both. He can excel at both.
Absolutely. There's no reason why he can't. And he's proven that multiple times. So greater expansion of responsibility would be something that would be great to see.
Well, Joe, thank you for coming on with me. We had a really nice conversation. And I love your Locked On Grizzlies. And it's good that you guys are doing the Bluff City Media thing. I wish you guys nothing but success. And you have always supported me, and I will continue to support you guys. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Right. We have to help each other out. I've got your back, and I appreciate you having mine. Thank you,
Sean. All right. Okay. Thank you for coming on. Holla. We'll be right back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.